Hello, team. Welcome back for another episode. Boats, how are you doing?
I'm all good, bruv. You all right?
I am good, mate. Well, there's a lot of speculation out there as to whether we were going to be a three this week. But I'm very pleased to confirm we are a three. We've got Claire with us. And you've got a bit of news for us, haven't you, Claire?
We're actually a four. Four joining us today. There's a baby on the scene.
This is hugely exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean,
she did 9 months inside and she's here.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of synergy going on here with little baby Claire there. Which is not Claire. I said that.
She's not Claire. That would be weird to name her after me. No, name's still in the...
TBC.
TBC.
Can I also point out that you looked considerably fresher today, the day after giving birth, than Paddy did, producer Paddy did last week when he turned up hungover. So, I mean, it's the most understated kind of joke. We had no idea. I thought you were a bit quiet on the WhatsApp yesterday. And so, yeah, well, congratulations. Very, very pleased for you. I'm sure all our listeners out there will be, because there's been a lot of speculation. Mainly, most of them worried about what a shit show it was going to be if it was just me and Boats having to present this.
I think you did a fabulous welcome there, Rob.
Would it have just been you talking?
You'd have had to step up, Boats.
Claire brings the best out of me, so we would have been struggling.
It's good to know I'm still needed.
Absolutely, and we are exactly. All very pleased to have you here.
Thank you, thank you.
What have we got lined up this week?
We've got, I think this is going to be really good value, this episode. We have got your good friend, Barry, and someone the listeners may well remember from season one. He had quite the role in your stories at Rochester. So I look forward to hearing this episode again. Have you spoken to Barry recently?
I have, yeah. I think I mentioned last week. I went for lunch with Barry and his new fiance Athena the other day, and he was on great form. I mean, Barry and Boats are the two people I've really kind of stayed in touch with since properly.
All the bees.
Barry's a legend.
All the bees, yeah. And Barry is. I mean, you guys, you're going to hear it now. He is just, he's a real character, top bloke, really good guy. So yeah, I'm very excited for all the listeners out there in podcast land to be introduced to him.
Well, let's get straight in because it's going to be a good one. I think the only place we had to start with Barry was getting the inside track from him on the real Boats and Rob.
Boats was a bit of a sort of we was in the gym and sort of trying our hardest and like being impressed with like trying to push 100 kilo, and then I walk in the gym and I just see this guy like same size as me. Pushing 200 kilo. So I was like, oh,
and Boats
right, okay.
Boats were spotting me. So,
yeah, bit of jealousy, but I was like, no, it's all right. We're accepting into the group, so see if that can rub off on us.
Better for this one to be on my side, then I don't want to be in a fight with that one.
No, definitely not. Probably the strongest guy I've ever met. And Roberto, sort of met him in a PT course. And didn't even realise he was posh at first.
Thank you. That is two from two. Babs.
Was he talking?
Rob's not posh. Barry, Rob's not posh. So thank you.
He's bantering you.
So yeah, and a lot of office references going straight over my head, but I clocked on to it then.
You laughed along for a few months until you learnt them and got the DVD box set.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's quite cute. Alex bought us the box set for us to watch so I could catch up.
Barry, are either of them people you would have made friends with on the outside?
I just don't think I would have bumped into them on the outside. I just don't think our walks of life would have crossed paths, probably. But yeah, never say never to friendship of anyone. But like I say, just being in that situation sort of brought us all together and we was all really close in there. So yeah, it's nice. I'm still close now.
A silver lining.
Yeah.
I think it's so mad because even like, I would never have met Rob because obviously I think Rob's a posh boy. And obviously Baz is from like the traveler community and I'd never really come across them as well. So it's like neither of us would have come across each other.
Yeah. It's strange.
It's very strange.
Well, they used to joke about, like one of the screws actually used to joke about it. he used to be like, oh, like a posh boy. He used to call me a pikey, massively racist. a posh boy, a pikey, and a black guy, all friends. Like, where'd you get that?
Walk into a bar, a prison, a gym.
It's like a bad joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
It did kind of work, didn't it? I think it was, yeah. When Baz and I first met, it's in like a classroom setting. So it was quite funny. I had, and Claire, our mutual friend Alex was kind of the one that I met through. So I went into this class, hadn't seen Al for a little bit. We were opposite ends of the prison. And I went in and Al was sat there. And, you know, you can't miss him. He's big, 6'6", ginger lad. And then there was lad next to him who just kept talking. But I just hadn't clocked that. It hadn't occurred to me that Al would like have a good mate there. And I was like, so it took a while. But then, yeah, we formed like a little bit of a three ball. And we basically spent most of our time taking the piss out of Ledge, who was the screw that took the course, who was like a cross between, he was like a cross between David Brent and Ross Kemp in Extras. Like he was, yeah, funny, funny character. But yeah, those were good days in that classroom.
Something special in Ledge.
Yeah. But yeah, we were like 3 14-year-old kids at the back of a classroom for most of the time. God knows how we actually got our qualification.
Yeah.
Boats said there that you're from the travelling community. What did the rest of the travelling community in prison think of your friendship with these two unlikely lads?
Mixed feelings, really. Because, like, obviously in jail, if you're a traveller in jail, and even if you don't know the other travellers, which is quite rare, because most travellers know most travellers, it's just sort of like a gaydar sort of thing, if you know what I mean. And so sort of you're accepted straight away.
I was not expecting that comparison.
So you're like you're accepted straight away. It's really tight knit, sort of don't really let many people in. So when you sort of break away to go and spend time with other people, it's a little bit like, oh, wait, why are you going with them? What are you doing with them? What are you up to? Sort of thing. So yeah, so it's a bit of a mixed.
Having that group of people, did that make you feel safer when you arrived in prison?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like even when you know, when you're on the bus on the way to wherever you're going, you know where you're going. You just know, as soon as I landed in Elmley, I just knew I was going to know. I knew people in there already. So, and then when I got there, I said loads of other travellers that was on the wing, and straight away it's send you a goodie bag.
What's in a goodie bag? Do we want to know?
Officially? No.
Just to be clear, these goodie bags aren't being handed out by HMPPS.
No, definitely not. No. To be fair, it's quite PG. It's only like toothpaste, deodorant. Just a few things to get you on your feet, maybe a pack of biscuits and stuff, some coffee.
So bag of spice.
Yeah, Danko.
I think it's safe to say that the travelling community did not embrace Boats and I with open arms. I remember we used to sit having dinner, didn't we, outside yours and our cell.
Yeah.
And Sniffy Stabby Dave, not his real name, used to walk up and would stand there, and we'd all go, "All right, Dave," and he would just completely blank whoever else was with you, and would just go, "All right, Barry," and then walk off. So yeah, I don't know. You didn't get hard a time, I don't think.
Is that the brother that used to take everyone's trainers and that? It was him, innit?
The lad who'd come in and do 2.5 hours of shadow boxing with dumbbells in his hand in the gym.
That's the one that he'd beg for your trainers, isn't it? And then he'd sell them on the wing or something.
No comment. I don't know.
He doesn't want to be involved in there.
No. He lives local.
Yeah, so. It is Boats, by the way. Yeah, that is him.
Oh, okay. I had a funny story. I landed in Elmley and sort of, I was with this guy, just like a normal guy that was like first night padded up with me. And then I just had like about 4 or 5 people just come through the door. Here, Barry, like big bags of stuff. And it was like this guy's first time in prison, never had a clue. And he was like, "Geez, what's going on? What are you, the godfather? Why is everyone giving you all this stuff?" And I was just like, yeah, mate. It was like quite a normal thing to happen. But yeah, sort of. But even had some like non-traveller friends in there that I sort of see. That I went to school with, like last time I saw him, I was like sort of 14, 15. And I was like, oh, you're all right, mate. And I was like, yeah, all right. And that sort of, they dropped me some stuff over as well. So it was for not a very good circumstance. It was a nice warm welcome, if you know what I mean, my first night.
But one thing I would say about, I'll say this to everyone, about the travellers that I met in jail, that I like the way they always embrace each other and they always used to stick together, which obviously in jail, like obviously, even subconsciously, everyone forms cliques, and I do like the way they all stick together and look after each other. It's nice to see.
Yeah, no, it's good to be a part of as well. It's obviously, you just you feel more safe, you feel more secure. Sort of when you, as soon as you go to jail, you want to find out where all travelling boys are, what wing they're on, what cousins you've got there, yeah. Because you know, as soon as you land on that wing, that's it. There's just going to be no bullshit. No one's going to be lying to you. And it's safety in numbers, isn't it, at the end of the day? Mm.
How much of that, Barry, do you reckon is that kind of, that tight-knit bit? Because they are, there's a real kind of loyalty and a little kind of like brotherhood there in there of all the travellers. Boats is absolutely right. But how much of that do you reckon is down to them feeling their backs are up against the wall? Because travellers do have a reputation. And how much of that do you think is down to, well, it's us against the rest of them because we're not particularly liked, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's a funny one. Like you say, I think it's a bit of both. I think, obviously, you know, people are prejudiced against us and stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's us against the world sort of thing. It can feel like that sometimes. And then again, like you say, I think it's the thing is, yeah, safety in numbers. If we all stick together, we know we're going to be fine. We know we're going to be safe. But I was saying to you before, like in jail, it's even though we've got that reputation and it's nice that no one messes around with you, like travellers notoriously just don't get into trouble in jail because they're so desperate for their DCAT that it's like, that's it. It would have to be something so bad and so severe. Don't be wrong, there's the odd traveller don't care and just will do their thing and get in trouble and have fights and stuff. But like I say, the vast majority of travellers just want their DCAT so bad. They just want to go home. They just want to be free. And it's just like, that's it. Just not totally lying. On the outside.
Why do you think they want their DCAT more than others? Or are they just more focused on returning to their community? Or what is it?
I don't think it's more than others. I think it's because on the outside, obviously, you'll get travellers that just won't give a fuck. So it'd just be like, doing all these bad stuff or whatever. It could be doing good stuff, bad stuff, whatever. But and then as soon as they go to jail, then it's yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. It's just like not even an argument back. And I think I can just notice it more with travellers being how much more they toe the line when they go to jail because obviously just want to get home to their families. And we're so family orientated. It's everything.
So it's the family orientation rather than a respect for authority, because I think actually, well, they're grossly overrepresented in custody, yeah. Travellers, like from, you know, David Lammin did his review and found they were hugely overrepresented. And if I'm not wrong, there's often, you know, an idea that they have been wrongly treated by the criminal justice system. So it's interesting that they then are very keen to toe the line, but they're not doing that out of respect for authority. No. They're doing it for the end game.
Yeah, I had respect for a lot of prison officers in there. They were sort of on our wing. Just any prison officer that never had a chip on their shoulder, I was fine with sort of ones. And there were some lovely ones as well. It was like to be fair, my OMU, he was a lovely guy. He just actually wanted to help. And he'd just done anything he could to sort of help me out. Got me out on day release to go and do my gas qualifications because they was running out. And sort of bent over backwards for me. So like, people like that, you have to have mad respect for. But other people in there, I had no respect for at all. You would have thought I respected them as high as I did that guy because that's the level I would be going to make people think that I was respecting him because you just wanted to stay under the radar, didn't you? At all costs sort of thing. But going back to what you said actually about sort of travellers being mistreated and that, my second time in court, the jury member got sworn in, everything was like sort of looked like it was going ahead. Sort of went for a recess, come back, and there was a jury member, Schultz. And I thought, what's going on here? Sort of the judge got handed a note, and he was like, oh, I can't read this out for the jury member's safety. I was like, what has gone on here? Has this guy recognised me? Has he said something? Has he made something up? I'm like, what has gone on? So anyway, they said, So I said, no, he hasn't said that. They asked him if he said anything what he had said in this letter to the judge, to any of the jury members. He said, no. Anyway, cut long story short, my barrister told me that in the letter he said, oh, as soon as I saw him, I knew he was a traveller. I fucking hate these pikeys. I'm having nothing to do with this. They're always guilty. They're always wrong. Mm-hmm. And he'd done that, but he wouldn't read that note out for his safety. So even the judge was being a little bit sort of prejudiced. And then all that they'd done was they just asked that guy who said that and wrote that letter if he had said that to any of the other jury members. He'd said no. So they didn't swear no one else in. They just swore one extra in. And sort of that was my first sort of, at the beginning of the case, would have been the trial, that was my first experience of just massive racism before we even started. And I just thought,
terrible. You
are kind of revered in that sense. It's funny, isn't it? So like in the prison, we talked about this before. It's funny how there was what was Danny Dog? What was the role? His traveller liaison?
Oh, gypsy rep.
Gypsy rep. Yeah. Gypsy so rep. You had like a representative between like the officers and the kind of traveller community, which I don't think off the top of my head, I can't think of, unless Boats, you might know of any other like communities or whatever in prison that had like kind of representative that needed to be like a go-between.
Well, the team that arrested me for both of my convictions are called the Gypsy Squad. They're called the Gypsy Liaison Team. It says it on their vest. That you can look that up. That's their Cold Harbour Police Station, and they are a special tactical squad they're the only team that are allowed to go on a Gypsy site on their own without backup. And there's some other bits as well, but that's an actual thing. But they was on the show Manhunt or something like that. It was called this. It was on Channel 5. And I was like, oh, there's Gypsy Squad boys. Me and all the other traveling boys was watching it. It's Stanford Hill. And they was like, yeah, he had me. And I was like, yeah, he had me. on the badge where it says Gypsy Liaison Team, it was blurred out. So there's obviously something there that's not right. That shouldn't be allowed, should it? Like, I don't know how you'd feel about that, Boats, if there was...
I mean, there'd be uproar, wouldn't there, if there was a police unit called the... I mean, especially, you know, with what's happened recently, you know, if there was a black crime squad or something, you know, something along those lines, they would be... Mm. That wouldn't last 5 minutes. So, yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did you experience that discrimination? Did it carry on from staff... in prison?
I think a lot of staff would be clever with it because of it was getting a little bit less sort of less accepted. Obviously, like, people are starting to realise now that it's accepted racism and it happens everywhere. But don't get me wrong, we have been suppressed for years, but nowhere near as much as the black community. And we're not jumping on that bandwagon at all. But the fact that it was more sort of like one of the gym screws, it would be, he would do it with banter, but it would just be completely out of line what he'd be doing. And you just, and I can't say anything. You know, Boats, isn't it? but like, Boats used to get it as well. Like, and it would, and some of the stuff they'd say, me and Rob would cringe and we'd be like, oh, but me or Boats can't say a thing because we've got the best job in the jail. Yeah. So we've just got like sort of smile and wave. Do you know what I mean? Like, just nod along with it and just pretend it's funny. We're both offended.
Yeah. One thing that I've come across at work is that there are complaint forms called DERFs, discrimination specific complaint forms, and they're meant to be confidential. But a lot of the people that I speak to who complain to me of experiencing discrimination, who say similar things like, oh, I'm not going to put in complaint because, you know, I need this particular job or I'm getting a benefit. They don't seem aware of that there are such things as these DERFs, these discriminatory confidential complaints. Is that something you were aware of? Or even if you had been, would you have filled it in? Would you have trusted?
No, like, as a community as well, anything like that, we completely avoid and stay away from. I think that's why it's been acceptable racism for so long, or discrimination, prejudice, whatever, because we're the sort of like, oh no, don't say anything, we just want to carry on sort of going under the radar and being undetected. Or our view is, especially for years, it's been like, oh no, don't say anything, it's just because we're getting in more trouble. That's sort of the outlook it's always been. Not that there is people there to help and it could work, it's just more like, no, just don't say anything, just leave it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
What about you, Boats?
I think we're the same. I think people kind of link that to, obviously the term we used in the first series about snitching and people trying to stay out of the way of trouble, like kind of, it's something that's always gonna go on. So what's the point of getting involved? That's a lot of people's mentality towards it. So same with what Barry said, people just want to stay under the radar and undetected and stay out of harm's way.
Would you call out another prisoner or just not do it to staff?
If another prisoner, yeah, of course. But not if it was a staff, because it's their rules kind of thing. That's a lot. I remember even, I think Big Al said to us once, I think once one of the boys was ranting to him and he was like, it's their rules, like the house always wins. So you can't really battle them. There's no point as well. It's a waste of energy.
That's sad.
I think sometimes, yeah, you're right as well. Both you said, Barry, you're saying about you kind of saw some of the staff would be kind of with certain people, you could tell they're just pushing it to try and get a rise out of them. And like, that's it. And they know like certain characters are going to do it. And look, I experienced that within, you know, I experienced officers, you know, kind of both doing a bit of that, but then they'd also, you know, with kind of myself and Al, I know both experienced kind of officers, like, you know, would be fine with you, but then they'd make like a racist comment or something like really borderline to me and Al and be like, as if we kind of approve of that, and we're like, well, what are you like, no, I don't think that's funny. But yeah, then again, it's a bit like you can't kind of like, you're not going to go, right, well, I think that's bang out of order, mate, to like these guys. You've just got to, like you say, just nod and wave and just acknowledge that unfortunately I think these guys are a lot of them are at a stage where you're never going to change their views and opinions, and you just kind of hope that the next wave coming through much more open-minded and it kind of eventually filter out the system. But you know, from what I saw, I think within that, at a certain level, it's so institutionalized and kind of ingrained in their mentality that I don't see you ever going to change their minds. You just got to wait for them to kind of leave. And before you ask, Claire, no, Al and I didn't get, we didn't fill out any DERF forms. Posh a lot. You know, we were pigeonholed.
But anyway, thing used to call you like Silver Spoon, innit? One of the govs.
Yeah. I'm not sure they called us a lot worse. Yeah,
probably. Bottom, I'm sure you had a pile of forms in your cell, Rob.
Yeah, me and Alpo used to take turns just filling them out one at a time. Stop calling us posh.
Next to the complaint forms.
do you know what is funny? You know what is funny? When I saw Barry's face, what I thought, Alex had a picture of Barry in his cell, didn't it?
Well, who did it? Can we come on to this? Can we come on to Barry and his pictures? Because one day we were sat in Barry's cell and he got a letter through and we were like, fucking hell, mate, what have you got in there? It was about 2 inches thick. And he's opened it up and it's his mum has sent him in some photos to put up on his wall. You know, everyone's got like girlfriends, family. Barry had about 230 photos of Barry. Just of himself, profile pictures, yes,
pouting as well.
Barry, show us the look. Show us the pose. Show us the pose. Come on, mate.
The blue skill's gone, mate. I'm sorry, it's long gone.
And his wall. There it is. And then we get, and so not only did he get them through, we came in the next day, there's 230 photos up on the wall. You must have used up the entire prison supply of blue tack to get them up there.
Do you know how many wedge quids I used? Drawing pins. Either sort of up.
You took out half the wall.
You didn't have to put them up, Barry.
Yeah, of course. Who else thought of
that apart from me? Were they like a range of ages? Were they like through the decades of Barry, or were they just recent?
Oh, no, this was just rave Barry. This was,
all right,
yeah, okay. Recent festival Barry,
the heyday,
yeah,
the heyday.
I think we need a couple of those on the Instagram, Rob.
Yeah, we'll get a few samples through. We'll send them. I mean, it is honestly, it's like his modelling portfolio. It's like it's all blue steel. There's a couple in like car wing mirrors giving it these ones.
I've got a question about that. Barry, did you request the photos or did your mum just...
I can't remember, to be honest.
Sounds good.
Yeah, who knows? Just on a whim, your mum printed off 200 Instagram photos and sent them to you. I know what Barry wants. Yeah. He knows you well, then.
Instagram password to get the photos off or nothing like that.
There was that. Then there was also your eclectic music collection that you had in there. You had
some good music, didn't I?
I'm not saying it was bad, mate. I'm saying it was eclectic because you had country. You were a big fan of country. Then you had Nicki Minaj's album. Big fan of Nicki Minaj, weren't you? Pink.
Baz had all the good house sets. He had all the good house sets. I used to borrow his CDs, I remember.
I never had my Chris Brown CD much because Rob always had that.
Correct. Love a bit of Breezy.
Oi. Oi, do you not remember when Love Island was on and we was all like next to each other? We always used to shout out the window.
Yeah.
About Love Island.
I wonder how annoying that got for everyone apart from us.
Do you know it was the worst for me? Because I was like 5-6 cells down, so I could hear you lot all talking, because it was right next to you, Barry, wasn't it? And then Boats, you were the cell underneath, so you could all hear each other, and I could just have my poor lonely Rob had his little ear to the window and he could hear the boys talking. I was like, let me be part of it, and I couldn't quite make it out,
mate. But
they were the glory days.
You had the best person next to you. You had Danny next to you, mate.
who I think one night, I think I've told this story. I think I told it in the first series about how I think he was like coked up one night and decided that the imam came round doing his rounds and he had his ear chewed off about the pros and cons of the Iraq war for like 2 hours on a Thursday night, which absolutely did me. Those are good times.
Good time.
Yeah, but yeah, you had good music collection. We used to, Sheffing was the main one though. We had a little three ball. You and I were in charge of food prep. We chopped the veg, and His Majesty used to go and play table tennis while we were doing that, and then he'd turn up for serving time, didn't he, Alpal?
Yeah, he was very good at eating the food that we cooked.
Well, that's a compliment.
Yeah, and he's one of them. He's like, "Are you eating that cornbread, boy?" He's one of them. Like, he's on ya for your bit of food.
And also, then you two famously fell out, so we were a little bit of a three ball. Boats wanted nothing to do with us at this point. He did.
He was too cool for us.
Yeah, he was too cool for us, wasn't he? Yeah. And then Al and Barry fell out for 3 days, 3 or 4 days. What was that about? What did you argue about?
That was through Al veg. Coming back early. I'm still infuriated now talking about it, mate. So I'm reliving it, to be honest with you. he come back early from the gym, and instead of preparing food for me and Roberto, he was playing table tennis, and then we had to come back and do it. So. Yeah.
I remember clearly the argument, it kicked off, and then you two didn't talk for 3 days. So I tell you what is not fun is being in the middle of two people not talking to each other on a prison cell. Literally for 3 days, it was, "Oi, Rog, go and get the frying pan off Barry." You literally wouldn't even acknowledge each other, would you?
Tell Al not talking to him.
Barry, you spoke about family earlier. I understand you've got four children, four lovely children.
Yes. Four beautiful children.
How was that? It must have been super tough. For those we haven't really touched on it, you've been in prison twice, once for your first sentence for a year, your second sentence for 4 years. You served half of both of those. So a really long time to be away from your kids. What was that like?
It's the toughest thing by a mile. You obviously miss them so much, but then you're conflicted. Do you want them to come see you where you are? But you have to see them. And then sort of first sentence, that was fine. See them, but weren't too happy. In terms of like they take pictures of the kids and search the kids and stuff. Bearing in mind my kids then, 2016 was sort of, Grace is my eldest and she was sort of only, she was only like 10, 11. So like bearing in mind, like they're taking pictures of her and patting her down. It wasn't nice at all. Mm. But really emotional when they sort of walk through that door and you see them for the first time, sort of run and jump on you on that. So that was nice. But so I was lucky enough to see them first sentence. And second sentence, I didn't see him for the whole sentence. So sort of my ex-wife stopped me seeing him, which was sort of devastating. Mm. And then it sort of got to a point after a while where I had to take their pictures off the wall and stuff. Sort of just got too much, yeah.
I imagine.
Mm.
But did you have other ways to stay in contact with them?
No. I weren't allowed to contact them at all.
Right.
Sort of tried getting hold of them a couple of times through social media and stuff. Yeah, and still sort of like no joy. They'd seen some of my friends and stuff and outreached to them and said, "Oh, look, tell Dad we love him and it's not us, it's Mum stopping us from seeing him. We'll see him soon," and stuff like that. But yeah, so sort of when I was in there, I got some help. to be fair, they tried helping me in Rochester, but they never had the resources. But when I got to Stamford Hill, they was a bit better for that sort of stuff. And there was a lovely Italian lady in there, can't remember her name. And she helped me get all the court process done, mediation. Mm-hmm. And sort of times I got out, the court date was real and ready to go.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
My ex-wife said, she rung me out of the blue and said, yeah, you can see them. So yeah, it was a long time coming, but yeah, again, really emotional after not seeing them for over 2 years.
Oh, I can imagine.
Did you find, like you said, you kind of just had to switch that off, or did you find it kind of bugged you the whole way through in terms of it was like an ongoing kind of thing, or how did you deal with it?
Like I say, it was so hard sometimes. If I had a bad day, that would be the reason for the bad day. Mm. There was nothing else in there that fazed me at all. I was single more or less my full sentence. It was like there was nothing to worry about there. I never used to hardly talk to my pals because I didn't want to know what was going on, didn't know what festivals, didn't want to know what they was up to, what good times they had, what holidays they was having. I just was focused on being excited about what was happening in jail. So I'd be like, oh, gym tomorrow. Oh, we've got football tomorrow.
Mm.
Or like, oh, I've got a visit. And to be fair, even visits got a bit draining after a while. Like, I just was so set on my prison life and my prison routine and just being a part of that. I just didn't want to think about anything else. But then you'd have days, obviously, where you'd be in floods of tears over the kids. But then you sort of just sort of brush yourself off next day, try and put them to the back of your mind, as horrible as it is, and sort of get through the next month or two without sort of thinking about them that much.
Mm.
Hey, Baz, you know, I remember, say like when it was like a date when a festival would be, we'd be like, bruv, oh, today would be fucking SW4. Yeah. No. And then we'd just be reminiscing. We'd be like, oh, fuck, yeah. Like, what are we doing in here?
And I was like, well, was you there last year then, both? Yeah. He was like, yeah, I was there. And I was like, yeah, I was there. I was like, we're probably with each other, mate.
Yeah.
I remember you two talking about some random festival by like the Dartford Tunnel or something and just having no idea what you two were on about.
Yeah, Studio 338. Yeah.
That was it.
338, unbelievable place. And we was like, yeah, was you there the night it burned down? And we was like, yeah. Like, yeah. And so we're living festival day on every festival. And then like, 10, 15 minutes goes past me like, oh yeah.
and you know, I remember as well, I remember like, even with Rob, I remember being in the visit hall with you and just being like, oh, this is long. Visits are just long. Like the same when you said they were draining. It just gets long, innit? Like the same like climax, anti-climax, it just got long.
Yeah, I started going back early in the end. I thought that had helped out a little bit. Sort of leaving like 10, 15 minutes early. So I don't know why that made any difference at all.
It's that sitting around. It's like that. Unless you've like got, like, obviously it was really good to see people. It was mainly good for the food up in the visit hall. But like once you've kind of seen people and you chatted, there is that kind of, like half an hour, 20 minutes at the end when you've all kind of run out of shit to say because you've used up the five stories you've told everyone. They've got nothing or they don't want to tell you what they've actually been up to because they think it'll make jealous. So you're kind of just sat there just both all like looking at your watches being like, so.
Yeah.
And we just wanted back to watch Broken Skull Island, didn't we, Bazza? With old Stone Cold Steve Austin. Talk about good times. Well, genuinely, when I look back, it was like, so the things that we used to joke, the best times were like when all of us would be in the gym, like fucking around, or then when one of the people we knew had a Freeview connection. So we'd go and watch this. I've never watched it since or before, but it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin has this like broken sky. It's the most American kind of show. And we used to just sit there watching episode after episode of these weird Americans, didn't we, doing like this ridiculous assault course.
Yeah.
Blue tank top while you're here.
No, that was good. But silly things like, I'm not being funny, a piece of technology that you would throw away on the outside just was worth like so much dust. To us. In there, it was gold dust, it was worth a fortune. You could record Freeview on it and it had a hard drive on it. So we was in my cell, I think it was like the morning after the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, and we was like obviously packed out with traveling boys and we was all watching this fight, and a screw come in and it was like, ain't this fight just Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury? And we was like, nah. He was like, yeah, all right, man, I'll see you later.
I've got this.
He was like, I ain't even seen that yet. So, yeah, so it was it's quite good.
What was your standout experience of your whole sentence or on either sentence?
Oh, it was probably for the wrong reasons. This one was, it was a time that I sort of had a bit of a disagreement with someone, thought I was being racist. on the wing and sort of called me in a cell. And yeah, it sort of it didn't end up escalating in the end, but it could have easily got really bad. And we sort of talked our way out of it. And I was like, look, you're off your head, mate. There's no way I'm racist in years. I'm a travelling boy. It's not my blood. And sort of when I come out of the cell, that all the other lads that were standing there, it was an 85% sort of black wing. I think there was like four white people in the whole wing. So it was a little bit intimidating for me, that sort of not being in jail before. And then like all these other kids that were standing there was just pulled out their knives. It was sort of strapped to their leg. And then I was like, oh, so like that, is it? So it weren't going to be a fight then. I thought to myself, oh, I'm probably going to get beat up, but I'll give it a go, sort of safe face, as everyone tells you when you first go to jail. And sort of lucky enough, it didn't come to that. And then sort of come out, and the realization of that, I've just absolutely shit myself. Mm. I was like, wow. But still trying to keep a straight face is like, yeah. But yeah, just didn't realize that just that's how everyone was in there.
Lucky escape on that one.
And that's probably got to stick out the most for me.
You were pretty standout on the football pitch as well, Baz.
Well, because I was that
good. Baz is actually a proper good footballer.
Don't say that.
Baz is actually proper. Baz is actually proper good at football.
Yeah, see, Rob.
No, you are a good footballer, mate. You are a good footballer, but you're about 50% as good as you think you are. Yeah. Honestly, I've never met anyone more annoying on a sports pitch. I still haven't figured out whether it's more annoying to be on your team or playing against you. I think that's the closest we came to arguing. We used to have it was like a four-a-side pitch, wasn't it, at Rochester Astro?
That used to get heated. Finally. That used to get heated as well, didn't it?
It really did. Yeah, that was probably the most heated I saw it. And yeah, fucking hell, you used to just, because you were so gobby on the pitch. If you were on your team, you would just get screamed at for not passing you the ball. And when you were on the other team, you would just non-stop in your ear about how good you were and how you were beating us.
That was good, man. That was good.
No good.
To be
times.
Fair, I got a little praise up from Boats as well. He said, oh, I spoke to one of my boys that's in Stanford Hill with you. I used to reckon you were all right at football. I was like, yeah.
I remember. I remember.
I ain't even trying.
I remember.
Right, Barry, we've got two questions that we're asking all our guests. Some quick fire final questions. The first one is, if you could change anything about the criminal justice system, no red tape, no budget constrictions, what would it be?
I think it would have to be, I think, for people in minority groups and poverty stricken, it just wasn't set up to fail. So sort of less racist and less prejudiced, and sort of when you go to jail as someone with fuck all, you leave jail fuck all, and that's it. There's only one road back for you at the end of the day, isn't it? And if you haven't got a good support group, you're fucked, you know, at the end of the day. So yeah, that would have to be sort of changing that.
So in terms of sort of like better plans for resettlement and accommodation and jobs and that sort of side of things.
Yeah, so as big as the government is, like anyone that's leaving jail with fuck all, no qualifications or anything, have a job lined up for them already. Mm. Make it mandatory, make it part of your license. Make it, if you miss work, then you're getting back recalled. Make it an incentive for people to get in that groove of things and sort of give people a chance to maybe earn some money and sort of keep yourself.
You're back working now, aren't you, Baz?
Yes, mate, I'm back working, so...
tell us more about that. Where can we find you?
Well, yeah, I started up my own company called Broad Oak Property, and it's one of me and my really good mates, and sort of plumbing heating company,
probably two of the best plumbing heating engineers in the southeast of England.
Well,
not my words.
No, we've been called two hot guys just fixing boilers, apparently.
And that's a quote from one of your many happy customers. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Not just one either.
So. Literally tens of happy customers. So, yeah. Well done.
All right, and then second quick fire question: if you get sentenced for a year, who would your dream cellmate be, dead or alive?
Well, it was. This would be out of probably my missus or.
Good answer. Good answer. Or
Ariana Grande.
Oh yeah, you used to buzz off her, innit?
But yeah, I've got to say the big man, Tyson Fury, surely.
Oh, okay.
Got
he'd take up
room.
A lot of room. He's a big unit.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
And he'd eat all the food, but he'd be good company. He can sing, he can fight. So
you could teach him to box.
He'd protect you.
Yeah. Yeah. I need protecting to be there.
You'd be fine.
Barry, this has been brilliant. Thank you so much. I hope that you've enjoyed it. We certainly have. It's been really interesting to hear from someone with a different experience.
It's so interesting hearing someone that you were
so
in jail with
about
their story on this
background and things like that.
Because there's so many things that I wouldn't have known,
you.
I wouldn't have asked.
No,
so it was very enlightening listening to that, and I really enjoyed it.
I find it hilarious that you guys have spent time, a lot of intense time with some of these people and even with each other. And there's stuff, questions you just never asked, things that you didn't know about each other's stories. Why do you think that is? Do you think you just don't get into the deeper?
I think some things are a bit too personal to ask.
Right. Keep it light.
I think you don't really want to badger someone with loads of questions. You kind of just look, you just learn as you go on.
I think that's it. Yeah. When we were inside, not everyone, but I remember us lot, we did keep it light. We talked a lot about, Love Island and football and Barry's nights out, and took the mick out of Barry quite a lot for getting his shirt off. And
Oh, it's nice. It's nice to hear other sides of things.
I should also tell one funny story about Barry from outside of prison. So I mentioned he came up for lunch the other day. So we went with our good friend Claire, with Alex, we went with Barry, came up, and we went for a little walk around Hampstead Heath. And Barry said, what should I wear? Because Barry normally wears like Balenciaga, a lot of big brand names. And so Alex told him to Google middle class.
What should I wear for a walk?
Yeah, he said, Alex told him to Google middle class and just come in that. And so he came in, he bought these like Chelsea boots, which were like brand new. and they didn't fit him. We've gone for a walk around Hampstead Heath, and we went to a pub for lunch. And on it, he was like, oh, Chevy, my feet. Oh, cool boy, my feet are killing me. That's how he talks. And he's taken his shoe off and half his toe's gone with it. He had this like blood blister on the side of his foot. So he had to walk home from the pub barefoot, he's going
to... No, but to be fair, Baz used to wear trainers that were too small for him. he didn't want his feet to look big, innit? Do you remember?
That is exactly what he said on Monday. He was like, I can't wear shoes, it's too big. He's like, Barry, it's ripping your feet off.
Why does he not want his feet to look big?
That is such a good question. One of the many weird traits that Barry has. I mean, I can't tell you the palaver I've had. We do like an Instagram live or something with him to get a few more questions on there, because the palaver I've had trying to get a photo off him for our Instagram. So I try and get, not always successfully, get photos of everyone so that we can put them on the Instagram. He sent me a voice note gun the other day going, mate, I'm really struggling here. All of his photos are him like lying on the floor, covering his mouth with his crap hand tattoo. So it's like, I mean, but we got that. One which we'll see what our listeners think. I will tease it. There is one photo that I have been sending to Barry. I've done a mock-up of the post, and he messaged me going, if you put that up there, I will kill you. And I probably won't, but we will see. Speaking of which, Barry did actually get involved in our most recent Instagram poll, where we were asking, we kept it light this week. We just wanted to know what your favorite kind of prison related songs were. And Barry, have you ever heard of Marty Robbins? Anyone?
No.
Boats. It beats me. Marty Robbins, Shackles and Chains. It sounds like he likes his country and western, our Baz.
Okay.
So it might be something like that.
Shackles and Chains. Good title. Fitting.
So you might have seen, Boats won't have seen because it's on our Instagram and he doesn't look at it.
I saw you post it, and I saw one of the comments, and the comment said something about, you're an idiot if you choose Akon or something like that.
Yeah, you need your head looking. Yeah. Well, you'll notice that I've, like, with my professional Photoshop skills, I've replaced our little avatars on the banged up logo with three. So I became Akon. Claire, you're Johnny Cash, and Boats, you're Heady One. So
I'm quite pleased with that. I'll take Johnny Cash.
So
what, did we have some good suggestions?
We did have some good kind of left field ones. I mean, I think, yeah, we had some of the obvious ones. We had someone has said one specifically for Boats, which was Plan B. traded in my cigarettes by Plan B. That's one for Boats, apparently. We had one for us, MCs. We had Les Miserables, Look Down. So something from Les Mis. For any musical lovers out there, we had someone called The Bus got in touch and said for Johnny Cash live in San Quentin. So Johnny Cash did a few, sounds like he did a prison tour because
he recorded a whole album inside.
Maybe one for, we could do a prison tour. Maybe we could follow in Johnny Cash's footsteps. Claire, you can organize that.
Okay.
Then we had Jailhouse Rock. so we had some good ones. We did have someone called Juicy Lucy did come in with Locked Up by Akon, which was the obvious one. we actually had a couple of those. And then we had someone, what else do we have? No, I think that was actually all the kind of Turning Japanese by Eddie and the Vapors. I can safely say no one listening to this will have heard of that, I wouldn't have thought. But always good to hear some kind of rogue left field shouts. And yeah, keep an eye on our Instagram this week because I'm going to put pressure on it now. I promise you I will get out our cook along with Barry. So I'm going to get, in honor of this week's episode, I will get Barry and we will figure out a way to, he's going to coach me through cooking up some nice, I don't know if we'll do tuna burgers, tuna curry. We'll do something from his prison repertoire and appear on our Instagram this week. So there you go. I've put it out there now. It's got to happen.
Well, you said that last week, but...
Yeah, he did. I was just about to say that. He did say that last week.
I haven't been very, you know, involved this week. So, you know, I'll keep an eye.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you've had a decent enough excuse. We also had a question come through on our Instagram. We had in keeping with... because we like to think of ourselves as having our finger on the pulse of all kind of legal dramas here at Banged Up. And we had Line of Duty, the popular series Line of Duty, finished this week. And so someone asked if Boats and I were ever knowingly banged up with any bent cops. Boats, anytime you can think of encountering any kind of corrupt prison guards, police officers?
Nah, and even if we were, they probably would have been incognito. They wouldn't have wanted people to know that they're feds.
Yeah, I think I had one in Wandsworth. So it's funny, I was chatting to a lad today who's coming to help me out with the fitness business stuff. And it turns out we were both on Sea Wing, not at the same time, of Wandsworth. So I was at pains to point out which end of Sea Wing I was on, because in Wandsworth prison, the Sea Wing is split in half. And one, when I was there, was the no smoking wing. The other half was for the VPs. So that is vulnerable person. So that is your...
You wanted to distance yourself.
It's best known for having kind of sex offenders on there. So often people want to distance themselves from that, understandably. But then, yeah, that's often where they put the ex, you know, like the bent cops and stuff. And there was one lad who used... Alec, obviously, our friend Alex Clare, you'll know him, used to get this guy to do his laundry for him because they had like a less of a queue that side or something. So you're separated bars. But this guy, I always used to remember, used to come and grab Alex's laundry. And every time, without fail, he would come, "Blimey, what are you doing?" And he'd go, "I'm not a nonce." I mean, that was it. So that was, he was there. So, and he was very keen to point that out. And he was, I think he was, he didn't go into depth about his own story, but I think he was a police officer who, so I can't confirm if he was corrupt or not, but he was a prison officer. He was in prison. So I don't know if he was H or not. It's a nice reference for Line of Duty. Anyone follows that?
No, Boats, well, a lot Boats of people are no blank. Longer fans.
Boats just after... staring at me in disgust there.
Right. Next week, we've got another different guest. We have got Peter, an ex-special advisor, coming to talk about his role.
Another different one. Yeah, I think, it was really interesting. A little bit different, this one, exactly. So, yeah, we like to mix up. We go Black Book, just one of our mates, and then something completely different. really interesting chat, wasn't it? And just to hear a bit about, kind of from someone that's worked on the inside, how the justice system is viewed by MPs and that kind of thing, and with procedure. Yeah, it was a really, really
talk
interesting
chat. Talk about some
chat.
Policy. Exactly. Episode 9 already. Can't believe it's flying by.
We're nearly there.
Flying.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, boats?
Yep.
Blank from him.
Yep. Blank. Yep.
Yeah, he's still there. Right, I'll sign off for now then. Have a good week. And until Peter.
Congratulations again, Claire. And
thank you.
Congrats, Claire.
See you next week, guys.
See ya. Bye.